The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the word of God.
So Genesis 16 from verse number 1, I'm preaching on the topic, The Lord That Sees. Sometimes we think the Lord is blind. We think the things that are happening are on the blind side of God. We feel the Lord is not concerned. And how can men cheat us? And how can men treat us so unfairly? But there is a God who sees. So in Genesis 16, the Bible says, Now Sarah, Abraham's wife, bore him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abraham, Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abraham had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abraham to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abraham, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abraham said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do that which pleases thee. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Amen. And Sarai went, and when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. Forgive me. Verse 7, And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence camest thou? And whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarah. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return unto thy mistress, and submit thyself unto her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and thou shalt bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. Amen. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spoke unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Balahiroi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bare Abraham a son, and Abraham called his son's name with Hagar, you know, Ishmael, and all that and all that. Amen.
You can tilt this thing a little. You can just do it from there.
Can I hear an amen? Now I'm preaching on the topic, The Lord That Sees. In verse 13, that is where this topic has been introduced to us. the Lord does sees. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me, for she said. In the Hebrew, the expression the God that sees or sees me is El Roy, E-L hyphen R-O-I, El Roy. El means God, and Roy means to see. Sometimes it's translated shepherd. A shepherd is an overseer, so shepherds are also designated to see. So when you put the two together, El and Roy, it comes to the God who sees. The background to this story is that Abraham and Sarah had been waiting for a promise of God. A promise of a child, and a promise of that child that was going to affect many generations. Abraham and Sarah had been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for many years. And around this stage, it looked like Abraham and Sarah were tired of waiting. They were growing impatient and becoming increasingly impatient. Initially, their focus was all on God, but somehow their focus began to shift from God to themselves. And they began to look at their circumstances, began to look at what they didn't have, and it started affecting what they believed from the initial stages. Sarah looked at herself, and I believe that she found that her body was as good as dead. And Abraham looked at himself and also felt his body was as good as dead. And the time the promise was given to them, they were already 75. That was Abraham. And so if you have waited for about 10 more years, that is a long wait. Like I often say, waiting is one of the difficult things in life. Many people on the verge of a breakthrough make choices in the period of their waiting that leads to disaster. Sometimes the choice they make and make them, the choice they make minimize their blessings. The choice they make at that particular juncture reverse the gains. And Abraham and Sarah were in that period. They had shifted their focus from one another, and their focus was now on the maid. In the mind of Sarah, she felt that if I could not make babies up to this stage, why don't we try Hagar, our maid servant, the Egyptian, who may be more fruitful, so that according to the custom of the time, the children will be ascribed to Sarah. Now, this is an indication that hope was dying off, and hope was no longer in God, but it looked like hope had moved into circumstances. Abraham and Sarah, instead of walking in the perfect will of God, were now going to drift into self-will. Instead of faith, they were now sliding downwards into the flesh. So, influences of the flesh were going to take over their decisions. That's when Sarah suggested to Abraham, take Hagar and have sexual intercourse with her so that you will make babies with her. Maybe this is how God wants it to be. So Sarah herself picked Hagar and took her to Abraham. and said, go ahead with the intercourse, make babies with her, so that we'll also see children around our house. Somehow, by divine design, Hagar became pregnant, and Sarah was still not pregnant. But just when Hagar became pregnant, she changed. I would imagine before she was given to Abraham that way, she was humble. She was full of service. She was a woman that respected, and a woman who knew how to carry herself. A woman whom everybody loved. And I'm sure it was some of these qualities that must have influenced Sarah to have recommended her for that relationship. But somehow, when Hagar got pregnant, she changed. She began to see herself as more important. She began to see herself as better than her mistress. She began to see herself as more fruitful, more productive. She began to see herself as more favored. Her attitude changed because we are not told that she said any negative words. So all that she must be doing must have been communicated through her attitude. So she started despising, according to the Bible, she started despising her mistress. She started looking down upon Sarah. She started treating Sarah with contempt and disdain. Hence, Sarah became displeased. And I'm sure she complained to Abraham. Then the Bible says, Abraham said, deal with her according to how you see fit. In other words, discipline her. We are not raising children in this house without discipline. So in verse 6, of Genesis 16, the Bible says, and Sarah dealt hardly with Hagar. Sarah dealt hardly with Hagar. The word hardly in the Hebrew is also translated to chasten, to afflict, to depress, or to treat harshly. To chasten, afflict, depress, or to treat harshly. Another interesting meaning is to browbeat by looking down upon another. And now I'll explain that. Now, chasten gives the idea of punishment. Affliction looks like multiplied troubles. Depression means this must have had some impact on Hagar, the way Sarah was treating her. And Sarah was now not being gentle with her. Sarah changed. And she began to deal harshly with her because the attitude was simply wrong. And it was the responsibility of Abraham and Sarah to get that wrong attitude out of the house. Can I hear an amen? Sometimes people don't dishonor their parents by their words. Sometimes people don't dishonor their superiors by their words, but they do it by their attitude. They do it so well that their boss can never take them to a disciplinary committee and say they did this or that or that. But they have a way of walking past without necessarily greeting you. They have a way of walking past, and they look at you in a certain way to tell you that you are not in their class, and that the standard that they have arrived at, you are nowhere near. Sometimes you give them some assignment to do, then they ask you, have you finished? Have you finished? Is that all? Or sometimes they go to the extent of sucking between their teeth. Oh, you know what I'm talking about. So it's likely that Hagar must have manifested something that was not right in the sight of God. When God is dealing with you, He deals with your thoughts, your actions, and your attitude. So God knows what is in your heart and my heart. God knows what is in your thoughts. He knows the intent of your mind. God also sees your actions, just as others do. But God also scrutinizes your attitude and sees whether you have the attitude right or wrong. If the attitude is not right, then it must be corrected. If the attitude is right, then it must be rewarded. And so Sarah sought to drive out the negative attitude of pride from Hagar and to establish the right thing in the life of the maid. Is somebody here? Tell the next person, let your attitude be right before God. When you do that, you offend your parent, you offend your superior, you offend your leader. And the more they are offended, the less they feel like blessing you. Can I hear an amen? It is your duty to be in the right side of the heart of whomever you work with, so that even if the person were cruel and mean and full of injustice, you can move on later in life with the blessings from God because you got your attitudes right. Can you put your hands together? Somebody must put their hands together. There is always an assessment, and listen carefully, that your boss can make of you that others may not have the opportunity of making that assessment. If I came to your home now, there is an assessment that your parents can make of you that we on the outside will not get the opportunity of making that assessment about you. I remember one time I was in a department and I had to move to another department. I was transferred, let me put it that way. Then I remember a servant of God came to the office and said, you were transferred and what must have happened? And he wanted to know my mind because he had gone to speak to my superior. Then I told him that bosses are always right. And I believe my superior is right. But if I were right, it's only time that will vindicate me. So I accept the decision and opinion of my boss. And I don't intend to fight it or change it. If there is any change, I will trust God and let Him change it. Oh, I thought the clap would have been louder than that. This servant of God said, this man must have had somebody with an amazing understanding to be working with. That person must hear what you have said. And I just kept quiet. Months that were to follow, I saw divine change. Oh, you must put your hands together. For that which happened in your life, either it was a transfer or a change that you didn't like, God allowed it to test you. You may assign all reasons to why you were changed, that, oh, there was something, and I went to see him in his office, and I spoke to him about it, and since then he changed. No! He probably wanted to change you already. Am I preaching the word? Listen to me. A lady was dating a gentleman and invited the gentleman to table and brought some honorable people. Unfortunately, this gentleman's table manners were few. So when he got there, the amount of food he heaped into his mouth per portion could solve the problems of less developed countries. And when his mouth was loaded with food, then he started talking on top of his voice. So particles of food were jumping out. And there were a few people at the table. The impression of all who gathered was not favorable. And eventually the lady had to take a decision on the gentleman and said, I cannot go forward in this relationship with this man because his table manners are few. Why did he need an amen? Oh, can I hear an amen from someone? I was talking to someone who said his boss was displeased with him. And this was a minister. So I said, can I talk to your boss? He agreed. I went there, had conversation. And the boss said, this guy works very hard. And this guy is very good, but he talks too much. And I don't want that. So if he wants to go, Reverend, let him go. Because I can't stand it. He talks a little too much. He blows his horn too quickly. He doesn't allow others to praise him. I didn't hear an amen over there. I remember I was talking to another caterer who had employed some people and was about to get somebody out of her staff. And I had the opportunity to go and talk to her. She told me that this staff works so well, but the only problem is that she doesn't tidy up behind her. And the kind of guests and clientele we have, look at our surroundings. And although she works well, she's very early, yet I cannot tolerate that. Your boss may be looking for some qualities that you may have 9, but he wants the 10th one. Oh. Can you put your hands there? You have 9 of all that, but it's the 10th quality he's looking for. And for him, he ranks the 10th quality as number 1. And if he doesn't get it, he may discontinue with you. But sometimes we get full of ourselves and we feel that we have arrived and we feel that nothing can happen to us and that we can continue to do things the way we please. Even if you had to do some work free of charge, do it so well that when you leave, the people will miss you and recognize that while you were there, you made a mark and set a standard that nobody can equal until a long time after. You are not clapping well enough. You are not clapping well. Even if you were doing the thing free of charge, do it well. Let it advertise it. Let the testimony go far. Let your attitude be right. So let me put it. A boss can fire an employee, just because your attitude was wrong, you didn't say anything, you didn't write anything, but your attitude is not liked. And many times as a counselor, people come and say, "Oh, Reverend, I didn't do anything." I said, "Something, you did something." He said, "Oh, I didn't do it." I said, "Your boss must have been displeased with something else." He said, "Oh, Reverend, I do it." I said, "No." I said, "Do you want to stay back in that institution?" They say, "Yes." I said, "Can you go back and say, sir, in case any of my attitudes or something has offended you, would you kindly forgive me?" Then I made one person go that way. The boss sat him down and said, "I like so and so about you, but I don't like this. And I've come to the place where I think I need a new person." This guy had to change quickly. And up to date, he's still working in that institution. The reason why two people will fail an exam and one will rise and go three steps beyond that and become a professor is attitude. One will say, "Well, I'm doomed. I'm finished. I was told in class three that I'm no good." And every subsequent teacher has confirmed that. But another will say, "This is not my final bus stop. There is more room for improvement. I must have missed some things. That's why I didn't do well. If I get some tutorials on the side, in addition to the teaching or lectures I've had, something will change in my life." Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. So tell the next person, your attitude matters. It does. You don't speak, but the silent thing you are doing can affect even God, maybe against it. So let's get back to the scripture. So Hagar was treated harshly by her mistress, and when she could no longer bear it, she fled from the house. That's when in charismatic circles people say the Lord is leading me. It's not always that the Lord is leading people. It looked like the kitchen was too hot for Hagar, so she had to check out. And guess where she headed to? Into the wilderness. Oh my God. The wilderness and the prosperity in Abraham's house. Which was better? When she went far, she came to a place that was called Sher. And in Sher, she had a fountain of water. And I think she needed that fountain to survive. She was at that time alone and pregnant. It was in this place that Hagar began to have feelings of rejection. I believe she had feelings of abandonment. Suddenly she had been left. She had feelings of loneliness. She felt no other person understood her, and no other person stood with her, and that she was indeed lonely. She must have said, "My mother and father are not here," and she may have wept a little. And that loneliness may have resulted in depression. When that happens, Satan takes advantage and brings fear and anxiety into your life. So Satan starts pressing the panic button and sort of like pushes you to do the wrong thing. Pushes you to do the wrong thing. She was now dwelling in the wilderness, but she was seated by a fountain. You can imagine that's where all the animals will come and drink. And it was dangerous for her, because after this stage, Hagar may have died. It was in this period that while she was going through the feelings of hopelessness and helplessness and was facing there, she was seated, was like a clock was being wound backwards. Somehow, oh, can I hear an amen? Oh, can I hear a better amen? Hagar's problem was that she prematurely vacated her position in God's sight. She was like a runaway slave, a runaway apprentice, a runaway trainee. Hagar prematurely terminated the process that she was undergoing as a trainee. And that would have resulted in serious retrogressions in her life. So in verse 7, it was while she sat by the fountain that she got an unusual visitation. May God have mercy upon you and I. That whatever may have done in time past that is wrong, may God have mercy upon us. That the blood of Jesus shall speak for us and restore us. You should clap and shout amen, because I'm appealing to the highest authority for God to cover us with the blood. May he be merciful to us. So Hagar got an unusual angelic visitation even while she was a runaway trainee. And the angel said in verse 8 of Genesis 16, Hagar, Sarah's maid. Oh, come on, look at that. The angel didn't say Hagar. And then continued. But he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid. This was to indicate that Hagar hadn't finished the period of servitude. It's just like being a medical student. And when you are in your last but one year, you feel that the professors are loading you with too many assignments. And you decided to prematurely check out of the medical school. If you try to practice on your own, you will be a quack doctor. It's just like going to the military academy to train as a soldier. And just some 3 months, 2 months before your graduation, you decided to check out of the place. And then you went to town saying you are a soldier. And you have a clean shave of your hair and everything, and still wearing your military boots. Listen to me. You are not a graduated soldier. You are impersonating. May God help us finish the learning that we have to do. Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. So the angel said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, so that God still recognized Hagar as Sarah's maid. Are you really on your own, or you are still your master's servant? Verse 8, still in verse 8, the angel asks, Hagar, where have you come from and where are you going? Ask the next person. Say, Tete, Tete, where have you come from? Alice, where have you come from? Where are you going? Oh, you are not asking. I've given you an assignment. You are not doing that. Please do it for me. Otherwise, I'll mention names. Even ask me, Tete, Tete, today, what's the direction of your preaching? Where have you come from and where are you going? Listen to her reply. She said, I fled from the face of my mistress Sarah. In other words, I ran away. Verse 9. The angel told her, return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hands. There are some situations the best thing to do is to return to the place. Submit yourself. Apologize. And if the person wants to release you, let him or her release you. Oh, come on, put your hands together. If you were driven out, that's a different thing. Hagar was not driven out. She ran out of the place because she could no longer bear the harshness. She started the whole problem by frowning, by despising her mistress, treating her with disdain, looking down upon her because of one little pregnancy that she had. I have good news for you. Anytime God blesses you and you look down on anyone near you, you are putting yourself in bad trouble. Anytime God raises you and you act like you are better than the others, you are setting yourself up for destruction. Every time you must think in relation to the grace of God. So the angel said in verse 9, Hagar, return to your mistress and submit yourself. Then Hagar was to express amazement and surprise at the fact that although she hadn't been obedient enough, although she hadn't been submissive enough, although she hadn't done things properly, and she had fled from the house where she was accommodated and was headed now in the wilderness and sat by this fountain, this well in Shur or Sher. Yet God came all the way to visit her through an angelic visitation. Jesus was with his disciples and they were hungry, and they left Jesus behind by the well and went to town to look for food. Then a Samaritan woman came to fetch water from the well, and a conversation started. And Jesus said that, will you give me something to drink? Then she said, why shall I give you? You are a Jew, I'm a Samaritan, we have nothing to do in common. And Jesus said that you don't know the one who is asking you. If you knew, you would have asked for the living waters. And the woman said, but you don't even have a container to fetch the water. This is a deep well, and you need a long rope and a container. You don't even have it, and you are boasting that you give me living waters. And Jesus said, you still do not know, because this water, when you drink it, you will thirst again. But the water that I will give to you, when you drink it, it will spring into everlasting life. Then the woman said, then give me to drink. Then Jesus said, go call your husband. Then she was smashed. She said, I have no husband. And Jesus said, you have been with 5 men. And the man that you are with currently is not your husband. Then she asks, are you a prophet? Then the conversation continued. But the point that I seek to make to you is that this woman never thought she would meet Jesus. But when she went to the well on a quiet day, she would experience an unusual divine phenomenon of meeting the Messiah himself, who will minister to her and let her know that God knows her problem. Many times as children of God, we feel like God has forgotten us. But Isaiah 49:16 says, your names are engraven in my path, and your walls are continually before me. Your name and your wall. The wall refers to your life. Your life is continually before me. So God says, your name is engraven in my palm. And anytime I look in my palm, I see your life. God sees you. Oh, can I hear an amen? Can I hear an amen? In Isaiah chapter 43 verse 1. He says, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee. Oh, are you there? O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. And listen to this line. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. I have called thee by name. Ask the next person, what's your name? What's your name? God has already called you. He has addressed you by name. Then he's taking ownership of you, even although you are not deserving of it. God still has ownership of you. He has called you the apple of his eye. And that's why he will leave his throne to come and defend you when somebody touches you. Now listen to me. There is one thing that will always draw God to you. And he did this in Genesis chapter 1. He said, let us create man after our image and likeness. There is something in you that will always make God visit you. Oh, come on. Can I say it another way? There is something in you that will never make God forget you. There is something in you that will bring to the remembrance of God the prophecies of old that he must handle. Says, and God remembered Noah. I want to pray for you and declare that any service that you have given to God, may God remember you. Any sacrifice that you have given to the house of God and to the people of the house of God, may God remember you. Any prayers that you have made on the altar of Jehovah, that you trusted him and fasted and prayed and stayed all night and were with the brethren, I declare, may God remember you. Like he remembered Zechariah, who was still serving in the temple when an angel visited him and said, Zechariah, Zechariah, your wife is about to conceive. And Zechariah could not believe. But may you believe in that hour. May God prepare you. Oh, come on. Am I hearing amen? There is something in you that God will keep running after you. It is the nature of God. It is the image of God. It is the likeness of God inside you. There is something about you that will always attract God. There is something about you that will make God send his only begotten son from heaven to condescend and come to earth and go to Calvary's cross and die on your behalf. That although he was rich, yet on the cross he became poor, that through his poverty you might have riches. Receive the riches that Christ gives. There is something about you that will make God remember your children while you are alive, or after you have served him and left in a good gray hair in an old age, that God will never forget your children. The people here are not receiving the. And many times when we are serving God and feel frustrated and feel a sense of hopelessness and feel a sense of helplessness and feel a sense that this thing has delayed and nothing will happen, brother, sister, Don't let the circumstances lie to you. Don't let the enemy lie to you. Let God be true, and every circumstance and every man a liar. Your leg will step in your Canaan. You will inherit your inheritance. You will take that which belongs to you. You will destroy the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites. You will destroy all the other nations. There will not be pricks in your eyes, nor thorns in your side. God will deliver you. I know God remembers me. I know God remembers Truman Charismatic Church, and He remembers your church. I know God remembers your family. The Bible says, for God is not unfaithful to forget your labor of love, which you have shown to the brethren, and which you continue to show to the brethren. Anybody who gets to a place and say, I've served God for so long and now I'm tired and I don't want to do good again, you are lying. What you are saying is unscriptural. I have given so much and I'm not getting the returns. What you are saying is not in line with the word of God. There is a period of sowing, and the Bible says sow in tears, but when it comes to the rewards, wait patiently for it. No matter how long it takes, don't waver. Don't be shaken. Don't be disturbed. Don't be confused. Stand firm. Twelve years, she had the issue of blood. Saw general practitioners. It didn't help. Saw specialists. Paid higher monies than she paid the general practitioners. It didn't help. And the more she spent, the Bible says her life was no bettered. The fact that your life seemingly is not bettered does not mean that the better is not coming. In fact, the best is on its way. The same God will better your life. And she said in her heart, she was firm, she was resolute, she was strong in her trust, if I will but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. The procession was not about her, it was about Jairus' daughter, who had been suffering at 12 years of age and was dead. And Jesus was ahead of that procession, going to Jairus as an honorable man of distinction. This woman was not supposed to even mingle with the crowd, but somehow God remembered her. I said, God will remember you. This should encourage you to pack your bag and be in church first before anybody else arrives. This should encourage you to rise up early in the morning and seek the face of God. Open your Bible and read and listen to the messages over and over again, because God will remember you. Oh, your clap is not commensurate. Come on, clap till you feel it in your palms. The Bible said, though a mother will forget the suckling child. I remember once we took one of our daughters to school. The rest were in another school. And she was young, and when it was time to pick her, I thought mommy had gone. And mommy had thought I had gone. We came back home at 7 p.m. Those days, there were no mobile phones. So it was the fixed lines. And then I asked mommy, where is she? Mommy asked me, where is she? We had to dash back. The school had a beautiful arrangement. They took the ward to the headmistress's house, fed her, and we went to pick our ward. What I'm saying is, dad and mom forgot their suckling child. But God will not forget you. I may make a promise today and even forget it tomorrow. Unless you remind me, I may not remember. But I want you to know God will never forget the promise. You are not alone. God sees your circumstances. He sees your situation. He sees it. He sees it. He knows how you are struggling. He knows your uprising and your down sittings. Oh, can I hear an amen? Can I hear an amen? God is everywhere. Even if you fled in the wilderness like Hagar, God will still meet you there. How do I know? Psalm 139 verse 8. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Verse 9. If I take the wings of the morning and speed up and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there thy hand shall lead me. And thy right hand shall hold me. Wherever you are, God is there. Even in the wrong place, God is there to redeem you, to secure your life, to save you, and to bring you out, and to bless you. God will remember you. Oh, come and put your hands together. From the beginning, God did some things to secure the fact that he will remember you. In Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14, 139, 13, 14, it says, for thou didst form my inward parts, not just my outward parts, but my inward parts as well. Thou didst cover me in my mother's womb. You were the one who clothed me with flesh and bones. I will praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm not a product of chance, nor a product of accident. I was intentionally designed. The Bible says, for we are his workmanship, created unto good works. That word workmanship talks about excellent craftsmanship. That you walk into a building and you literally cannot catch your breath and say, this place is amazing. Look at the furniture. Look at the floor. Look at the fountains of water. Look at the kitchen. You say, wow, this place is beautiful. I walked into somebody's office complex. In the office building, he has residential apartments. And when I walked there, and I walked into the washroom, when I came out, I said, sir, I feel like I'm not in Ghana. Then he said, Reverend, you are still in Ghana. I told him, I felt like I had traveled somewhere else and come back. And he understood what I was saying. What am I saying? I'm saying that you were carefully designed. Can I hear an amen? I said, you were carefully made. And you were made in such a way that you look like God. So when God looks at you, he sees himself in your life. That is why he sent Jesus, when that image was distorted, to restore the image. Now that you have accepted Christ, the desire of God is that on a daily basis, you will grow in the image of Christ. God cannot forget you. God sees your needs. Oh, can I hear an amen? You lost a loved one. God sees it. You lost a dear relationship. God sees it. You were sacked from a job and you have lived for some time without income. God sees it. You trusted in some friends and they showed their disloyalty to you, God knows the pain and the hurts that you are going through. You attempted an examination and it didn't work out. You attempted a business and it didn't succeed. But God is still with you. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, even unto the end of the world. Hagar fled from the mistress. She was in the wilderness, and God didn't want that soul destroyed. So God sent an angel to her and said, Hagar, Hagar, Sarah's maid, return and submit yourself to the house. And in verse 13 of Genesis 16, Sarah says, for this is overwhelming, and I'm so surprised, because I have been visited by Elroy. Elroy, which means the God who sees me. If you know God knows your problem, the Bible says, for he's touched, Jesus is touched with every feeling of our infirmities. You have pain in the night, Jesus is touched. You have sleepless nights, Jesus is touched. You feel depressed and you feel like it's not worth living, Jesus is touched. If you know Jesus is touched, then show him with a big shout and a mighty clap offering. Don't stop clapping. 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 Let the Lord know. Let the Lord know. Let the Lord know that you know he sees you. And then it won't be long when he will visit you. You will be walking down the altar with your spouse to be. You'll be walking down the same altar, this time for the dedication of your children. You'll be walking down the same altar to testify about the houses that God is giving you. God saw it when you were thrown out of that accommodation. God saw it. He saw it when you were left in the cold and given that left hand of cold fellowship. When you were maltreated in the house that you lived in, and instead of your father supporting you, he didn't support you. God allowed it. Why? Because he will visit you. Reverend, I live with my stepmother and my dad, and my stepmom has not been very kind to me. It's okay. Maybe you also did some mistakes. So her face changed and she withdrew her smile. But don't run away. Don't be rebellious. Don't show negative attitude. Still submit yourself. You are in a period of transition. Very soon, God himself will take you out. Don't be bitter against your father. Don't even be bitter against your stepmother or your mother and say, if my mother had stayed here, I wouldn't have suffered. You may still have gone through something. But listen to me. We are serving a God that sees. And on that basis, I say, your sickness shall disappear. Healing shall fall upon your body. Strength, come on, and vitality and supernatural energy shall be your portion. Your body shall produce the right quantities of the chemicals and the hormones. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Where the passage was closed and it has to be open, may God open it. Where the passage is open too wide and has to be shut, may God know what to do about it. I command the power of God that it will touch every organ in your body and restore your health. God sees you. Sister, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord bless you. Take this blessing. May the Lord bless you. Somebody, Oh, come on, give me olive oil quickly. May the Lord bless you. 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 May the Lord visit you. May He bring a change in your circumstances. Receive the anointing of God. Receive the liberty of the Spirit of the Most High God. I see the hand of God just coming upon you. Something is about to change in your life. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive the breakthrough. We rebuke the afflictions. We rebuke the disorder. We rebuke the chaos set by the devil. We command the hand of God to straighten things and to bless you. We break the yoke of bondage and set you free. Oh, come on, put your hands together. Receive your miracle as well. The Lord sees you. Sister, the Lord sees you. Oh, you went for business. Things didn't turn out well. You still had to pay school fees out of nothing. But the Lord sees you. Your tears, God sees you. May the Lord bless you, sir. May the Lord bless you, madam. God sees you. I say, God, you may be maltreated by your own husband, but God treats you. Even your wife may have abandoned you, but God sees. He sees, and He will visit you. He will visit you like Hagar. It may have been long, as if there was no job in town, and you have been waiting applications upon applications, but you are about to have an opening. I'm prophesying to you. I say you are about to have a great and effectual door with the addresses cleared from the door in Jesus' name. The Lord sees you. Nothing will cut short your life. You will not go to the grave before your time. Others will not be rejoicing while you are wondering what is happening to you. God will add you to the team of rejoicers. You will have a celebration. You will have a testimony. You will have something to share. I say you will have something to share. The miracle is about to happen. By this time, Abraham was 85 years old when Ishmael was born. And when Hagar went back, they received him back. And when she brought forth the same name that the angel gave in the wilderness, was the same name that Abraham gave to the child. Listen to me. After that period, God will open the womb of Sarah. I see wombs in the supernatural. Open wombs. Wombs. Wombs of dreams. Wombs of vision. Wombs. Ay, makataya kataya. That you will conceive the dreams of God. I command in Jesus' name that any dreams that were aborted in your life shall be restored by the power of God. I'm talking about dreams that will take you into your years of pension, that will keep you engaged and continually bring you income, because the idea of God shall fall. I also see wombs opened in the physical, wombs that are blessed. I see men who are blessed and energized and strengthened in their spermatozoa. May they be anointed and empowered that anything that is wrong in their blood system shall be corrected. I command it corrected. I command abundance of sperms in one release, and I command that this sperm shall be active and aggressive, fighting toward the womb, and may the womb grab one or two. I'm talking to those that are in marriage. I'm talking to those that need the fruit of the womb. May God open the womb, and may your womb grab the seed and retain the seed. Hagar said, the Lord sees. Sometimes when you're going through affliction, and you have been praying about one thing, and after you prayed about it and you slept, the nightmarish activity was worse than the previous day. The oppressions you felt in bed were worse. God sees it. I think you should have been. It's been 10 years, 5 years, 13 years, 23 years since you became a believer, and you're still wondering what will happen of your future. The same God who started with you will end successfully with you. Others had started already having children, but Abraham was to have only one son whose seed will surpass every other seed. May God give you a miracle. And may the type of miracle surpass all the others by the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, my God sees. Even the way I'm preaching, God sees it. So don't you see God sees it? And that in due time he will reward me. So I don't have to fret about my wealth, and I don't have to cajole and touch somebody's hand about any reward. I don't have to force anybody to give when they are not willing to give in the name of Jesus Christ. But in the fullness of time, may the Lord empower you. May the anointing of God fill your life. May the grace of God fall upon you. The Lord told me yesterday when we're in the woods, that everything you have lost, he will restore. They will keep coming back. Receive the anointing of God. Receive the anointing. He will restore. He will restore. He will restore. He will restore. He will restore your relationship. He will restore the love. He will bring submission like Hagar did to Abraham. That which you lost, there shall be restoration. Oh, you are not clapping like God. As for me, I know God sees me. And recent times, he's showing me that the word we're preaching, the milk and honey conference, I see sweetness being brought into the lives of people. I'm talking about supernatural sweetness, sustained sweetness. I'm talking about sweetness upon sweetness, without bitterness at the end. I'm seeing the waters of Marah turned around and being made sweet by the power of God. Although there may be death in the pot, like the sons of the prophet said, yet the salt of God is thrown into your situation, and the death is taken out of the pot, and you will eat now and enjoy. The more you attack, the more you believe God. The more you are hard pressed, the more rise to the occasion. Be a little stubborn and persistent in the things of God against the devil. Be a little stubborn. Get up and take your destiny into your hands. Get up. Pray. Something will change. Something will change. Oh, come on. I said something will change. I said something is changing for the better. Something will change. Your salary will change. Your income will change. More streams of income will flow toward you. Something will change. Tell somebody something will change for the better. I've been asking you to clap, but even me as a man, your clap is not ginger me. Let heaven respond to your clap. Let heaven respond to your shout. I I like the shout. May God honor you. May your miracle bring more shouts of rejoicing by the power of God. We went to the woods to pray about a month ago. And then I sensed that God will open doors which were unusual, which were not normal. And the way that things will happen will beat people's imagination. We finished prayer in the woods in the morning. And then one of the members visited the parent in the office. And then somebody came who was a client, and conversation went on. He said, my word needs a job. And there and then, they said, what is your CV? He says, I have it on my phone. Forward it to me now. It was Saturday afternoon. They said, start work on Monday. Oh. Recently, the person told me, the office I'm in is very nice. That when you step there, you will feel that it's an office, not like an academic woman. Oh, may God honor the screams in heaven by the Spirit. Let me hear you shout for God. Shout for God, somebody. Oh, come on, shout. I feel like shouting myself. Yeah. Aye, sakataya brace, keketa. Oh, come on, you are not shouting. My shout is turning to the supernatural. Iye katua kataya krakataya. Is somebody joining me with a shout and with a supernatural language? Because this is an atmosphere of miracle, and some things are going to break forth. I yell at the sea kataya. Ibaya solara bakaya. I yenne kaya mbrestele de bekia. I yell at the kaya broste. Oh, come and lift up your voice. I sense some miracles about to happen before we leave here. By the time you get home, you will get an answer. Oh, come on. Ya bia stele rebe kia stakataya. Ayele rebe kia stele rebe kaya. Ayele rebe kaya bro stele rebe kaya. Ayele rebe kaya bro stele rebe kaya. Ayele rebe kaya baya. Ibanda kaya bros pele rebe kaya. Ibaya konde le mekpi adbataya bros kaya. Oh. Oh. If you sense what I'm sensing, why don't you shout? Why don't you shout for joy? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Nikabaha rushteke takatua. Likrendo stone ni mikibaha. Ramando seyo stokaba. Likato shtekete. Get ready. Ikene ni mikibaha ya. Riseto stuka prado shtekete. Atini ni mikibaha ya. Runda makundi bri. Iteme ni briya toni mishene nene mekaya. Rando ko sobra kita. Atila brando stuka makundi bri. Reketoni mikini lima gadamondo so. Atilibriato shapa, rabaya dilamaton dibri, ike